On Escalation of Commitments. Dear Dan, every year when Christmas comes, I feel obligated to send Christmas cards to everyone I know. And every year the number of cards I send gets larger and larger. It is now officially getting out of hand. Can I switch to sending cards only to my really close friends? Holly. A few years ago, I was ordained by the Church of Spiritual Humanism, so I feel that I am in the position to tell you that it is perfectly fine for you to send cards only to your good friends. As a social scientist, I don't think anyone left off the list will be offended, and many of them might not even notice. Taking this step will also reduce their feeling of obligation to send you a card next year, so in the process you are likely also helping them with the same problem. And if you really want to eliminate the Christmas card frenzy, there is always Judaism. Friends, expectations, happiness. On the Art and Joy of Saying No. Dear Dan, I've recently been promoted, and I now receive all sorts of requests for activities that have little to do with my love for my job. I recognize the importance of helping out co-workers and the organization as a whole, but these other activities are taking up too much of my time and making it impossible for me to do my job. How can I set my priorities better? Francesca. Ah, yes, the perils of success. Promotions usually sound good, but once we get them, we often realize that they come with extra demands and annoyances. Oddly, we don't seem to remember this lesson from promotion to promotion, so each time we're surprised when we discover these extra costs. Back to your question. Here's what I suspect your new life looks like. Every day, nice co-workers, who you want to help, ask you to do something for them. On top of that, the request is usually for some time that is far into the future, say a month from now. You look at your calendar and it looks rather empty, so you say to yourself, "Since I'm mostly free a month from now, how can I say no?" But this is wrong. Your future is not really going to be free. The details are just not yet filled in. When the day arrives, you will have all kinds of things to do and your plate will be overflowing, even without the extra demands of this request. And at that point you will wish that you hadn't said yes. This is a very common problem, and I would like to propose three simple tools that can help you better stick to your desired priorities. First, every time a request comes in, ask yourself what you would do if it was for next week. Framed this way, you would look at your schedule and figure out if you would cancel some of your other obligations to make room for this new request. If you would cancel some things in order to make time, go ahead and accept. But if you would not prioritize it over your other obligations, just say no. As a second tool, when you receive a request, imagine that you look at your calendar to see if you can comply, and you discover that you are fully booked that day without the ability to switch anything around. Maybe you are out of town. Now try to gauge your emotional reaction to this news. If you feel sad, you should go ahead and accept the request. On the other hand, if you feel relieved that you can't do it, turn it down. Finally, practice using one of the most beautiful words in English. Cancel elation. The glee we feel when something is cancelled. To use this tool, imagine that you accepted this particular request, but it later got cancelled. If you can taste joy, you just experienced cancel elation, and you have your answer. Workplace, decisions, long-term thinking. On Netflix dissatisfaction. Dear Dan, I am a long-time Netflix user. Recently, Netflix removed about 1,800 movies from its offering, while adding a few very good ones. I know I probably would have never watched any of those 1,800 movies, but I am still upset about this, and I am seriously considering leaving Netflix. Why do I feel this way? Kristen. As a movie fan myself, I appreciate your conundrum. The basic principle behind this emotional reaction to the elimination of these movies is loss aversion. Loss aversion is one of the most basic and well-understood principles in social science. The basic finding is that losing something has a stronger emotional impact than gaining something of the same value. Going back to Netflix, the implication is that having movies taken away from your account is perceived as a loss, and because of that, it feels much more painful. The impact of loss aversion could be so strong that losing the not-so-great movies can still be more upsetting than the joy of getting movies that are objectively better. One other implication of loss aversion is that while old Netflix users such as yourself will view the new collection of movies on Netflix in a somewhat negative and loss-aversive way, new users who just see the new set of movies without the experience of having anything taken away from them will view the updated offering in a much more positive way. With this in mind, my suggestion is that you try to think about Netflix more like a museum. As a service that provides you not with particular movies, but with an optimal, curated variety of entertainment. With museums, we don't think about ourselves as owning any of the art, so we aren't upset when the exhibits change. My guess is that if you manage to reframe your perspective this way, you will enjoy Netflix to a larger degree. Entertainment, loss aversion, value.